It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. Sarah's dressed like a big Oreo today, for those who are interested. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Don't forget, we are now 6 days away from 666. Look for the AM 970 tent on the grassy knoll just below the Northwest Pedestrian Entrance, Hawthorne Bridge. You can go to 970.am. You can see the FAQ. Or rickemerson.com or myspace.com/rickemerson. There are like 900 other places. I put out a, you know the worst thing about that MySpace, about that there MySpace, when you're doing the event invitation, you have to like point and click on each individual friend because you can't group select, can't you? So I'm having to point and click like 900 times. It's the worst thing. Life is hard. All right, survival. I'm sure the Laura Ingalls Wilder and her family feel very badly for me. It's 503-733-2970. Okay, so we had all these phone calls to get through. Can you do me a huge favor and see if one of these calls is Aaron? Because we are sans Scotty J. By the way, we're now coming up on, I don't know, it's about 10 days away from Scotty J being in the house with us every day. Scotty J will be becoming a full-time member of the program. He won't be getting paid or anything.
He can't find a job?
No, he can't find a job. And he has no life. So Scotty J will be a daily member of the program starting in like 10 days.
Let's go.
Until then, you have to be nice to Sarah, who screens calls. It's 503-733-2970. Is that one? Okay. Tim, can you do me a huge favor?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
I hate to send you on errands, but I got to do this thing. Could you find could you grab Will?
Will?
From engineering.
Okay, I'll see if I can find it right away.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Because I know how sometimes you just sort of smile and have no idea who I'm referring to.
No, I definitely am.
All right, okay.
There he is.
503-733-2970. We got this. Rick, you're no doubt swimming in spelling bee emails, but I had a friend in the sixth grade who lost a spelling bee on the word was. The words were being pulled randomly from a hat, and when it was down to the final two, the judge drew the word was, W-A-S. The entire place erupted in laughter, including my friend, who quickly and casually spelled the word
W-H-A-S?
W-A-Z.
Oh, no.
Wait, hold on. W-A-Z. There we go. The place erupted in laughter, leaving my friend with his mouth agape, and coming to terms with the fact that no matter what he did over the next few years, he would be the kid who couldn't spell was. The local radio station even did a story about it with a dramatic recreation. This was admittedly small-town radio, though they never stooped to talking about the best C. Thomas Howell movies ever. Hey, hey, screw you, pal. All this was in the early 80s, and just when people began to forget, the band was not was rose to fame to ruin my friend's life again. And everybody's too. Everybody else's too. Janeway, just thought you'd like to know. Good luck with Horns Across the Hawthorne. A 3.0 listener in the couve. There you go. Hey, listen to that. Listen to that. That's a brand new little thing there. A 3.0 listener. That's pretty great. 3.0 means, let's see, one, two. A 3.0 listener means they started listening in 2001 after the syndicated show was aborted. All right. 503-733-2970. We'll get to these emails. What else? We got Jim Roop coming up. We got the It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Let us now welcome to the Rick. We should make this an ad hoc Geek Watch. Can we do that?
Oh, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is your ad hoc Geek Watch.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit. You got it?
Energize.
All right, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show our alpha geek, Will, who works in the engineering and IT department here. Will, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, and you?
Will is, by the way...
Will isn't very geeky, though.
Not well, but I mean, not overtly so.
Not outwardly geeky.
Well, I don't know.
Well, they won't let me wear my t-shirt says I believe anymore.
No, he is wearing canvas shorts to work and...
So are you, bikey.
Yeah, but I take them off when I get here. I'm saying I wish I could. But here's the other thing. Is that you're wearing the canvas shorts, and then the other day you were wearing a shirt that said, lag is no longer an excuse. And it was for like, some, was it like a, it was like a broadband thing?
Yeah, I think it was like a D-Link,
something fuel.
DSL router.
Yeah, see? So there you go. You wear a D-Link shirt to work. Blah, blah, blah. Insert bad. Jeff Foxworthy knockoff routine here, blah, blah, blah. You may be a geek. So let us also now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Aaron Geek in the City joining us now. Aaron, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
I am rolling, brother. So
the best part so far is already hearing Sarah's thighs.
I'm sorry?
My thighs?
Right before the geek watch, it was a...
What
yeah,
about...
Yes, so.
Her
oh, thighs? My
thighs? Oh, okay. All right. Well, just leave that. Okay.
Yeah, let's leave that alone.
Moving on. So we are now 6 days away from 666. We'll be doing the Horns Across the Hawthorne, and we're also going to be, we're going to have this Dungeons & Dragons game. Now, among the things that we've talked about is we need to come up with a name for it, first of all. Some sort of blah, 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 Dungeons & Dragons Ultimate Cage Smackdown thing, something like that.
Yeah, like the Polyhedral Smackdown.
Wouldn't that be like more a PvP type thing, you know?
I don't know.
It's a SmackDown kind of thing.
They really should have pay-per-view Dungeons & Dragons matches.
They completely like Texas Hold'em.
Totally. That's what I mean. The Dungeons & Dragons World Tour, they ought to have that.
That'd be huge.
Seriously, if the sci-fi... Okay, another idea I'm giving away. The Sci-Fi Channel, do that right now. You get yourself your Dungeons & Dragons World, the world gaming tour.
Totally. And we're only like 3 hours away from the national headquarters of the company, too.
Seriously. So. Yeah, and then I was going to say, they get the spin-offs where it's like the Magic the Gathering World Tour, the Car Wars World Tour.
You know Car Wars.
What are you going to do? Grew up in the 80s.
Well, they got the Dragon Con up in Seattle every year.
Do they?
That's Emerald Con.
What?
That's Emerald Con.
I thought it was Dragon Con. Don't they have a Dragon Con
Con's
in Seattle?
Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Yeah.
No, I think I went in Seattle.
Aaron, you're being a little snippy.
See, well, no, this is it.
They're supposed to fight. Or,
I'm not saying they're supposed to fight, but I'm saying this is totally it. This is where we're. This, I mean, you put two geeks in a room, and this is I think how it begins. This is like
we're
when
on
I.
Town.
This is like when I inadvertently misquote Tombstone or something around my friend, and then it's just man, it's endless reaming for the rest of the night. So
just got you.
So we got this Dungeons & Dragons game coming up. Now, we have had many, many people in the audience. I'm not exaggerating about this. They have been asking what version of the game you're going to be playing, who will be DMing, who are the characters. These are all things I only have the vaguest, tenuous understanding of. So, Aaron Geek in the City, Will Alpha Geek from CBS Radio Portland, do we know who's going to be leading this game? Who will be the Dungeon Master or DM in this game?
I think I'm going to end up being the DM in this one, so...
Yeah, I know it pains me, but I think he's right. I think Will's going to end up running this bad boy.
All right, now,
isn't that much of a fight, then?
Well, there you go.
Ladies
and gentlemen,
this
build-up was fantastic. There you go. I'll take anti-climax for 1,000.
Well, the problem is, like all true geeks, we handle it all in email because we don't want actual personal contact.
In fact, if you could just play it while being in a bubble.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Being in a bubble.
And just behind our screens and eat Cheetos.
He just caved into my geekiness through the emails.
That's totally... Did you write him letters in binary or something?
Well,
0111001! Exclamation mark, smiley face, clan hat.
Well, here's the big problem is that Will and his people have not evolved to the new edition of the game.
Uh-huh.
And all they have is, your old school D&D. Of which I haven't touched in years because I have evolved.
Now, I thought it was all the same. It was like a guide, some graph paper, and like a diet.
No, they did a huge revamp in like 2000, and they went to third edition.
Yeah, and they broke a lot of stuff when they did that too, but hey.
Yeah, okay, just keep telling them that fighters hitting five times around your little wimpy second edition version.
Okay then. So Aaron, if you are not going to be the Dungeon Master for this game,
no, I will not. I will be a player.
So my question is...
I will be the player.
So do you have a... people want to know, when it comes to this, what the geek in the city, what your character is?
Well, I don't know. Because I think I have to roll up one special just for this game.
So now when it comes to... I don't know anything about Dungeons & Dragons. I have only the most layman knowledge.
So do you have the freedom to make your own character?
That's what I'm saying. Can you pick whoever it is? Could you be a fire-breathing orc?
Well, no, I could be an orc. Well, see... I'll
could be a half-orc.
Will let me play an orc.
What?
Half-orc.
Now,
I could be a half-orc, but I probably couldn't fire-breathe.
Does Will get to choose whether you can breathe fire or not?
Yeah, if you want to be a mage, you've got the fire-breathing spell. I think that was like a... adventure spell. That was...
Fantastic. All right, so now this is going to be taking place. There's going to be some guys from the engineering department here, and then Aaron, and then I think Jason, our good friend Jason, is going to be involved in this as well. Yeah. How long does a Dungeons & Dragons game take?
As long as you want it to take.
Is that true? Does the game never end? Is it just like an endlessly ongoing thing?
Yeah, it's like the ending of Lord of the Rings. It never quite ever comes to an end. You just kind of keep moving on to the next story.
One after the other after the other.
However, I do think I think Will's going to craft like a tournament-style game, which they have a start and an end. So.
All right, okay.
And they usually run like 3 or 4 hours.
All right, now, will this require the use of pewter figures?
All right, I'm bringing them.
How many?
About 250, 300 in the boxes there to bring.
All right. And what will be the most sides on any die that will be in use during this game?
20 sided dice.
Just a 20.
Just a 20. Now,
you do have the percentile, and they do have a 100 sided die. It looks like kind of a.
When I was in high school, my friend James had a 100 sided die. It looked like a golf ball. Is that a thing? Now, is the 100. You can just hear women everywhere just not only turning off the radio, but actually removing this from the preset. In Dungeons & Dragons, Aaron and Will, the 100-sided die a thing you actually use, or is that like the guy who has the car in his garage that can go 700 miles an hour? But, like, you can't actually do that anywhere. Like, it's not a thing you can actually do. It's just for show. It's just to rev up in the garage and impress the other guys.
I know people who use it, but most players don't like it because you don't get a very accurate roll from it because it just feels like you're not getting a true number from it.
And it rolls and rolls, and you roll it, and it rolls across the table and knocks the miniatures over and ends up on the floor on the other side because it never stops rolling.
Yeah, you're totally right. It hits your miniatures, and they tip over, and then it keeps going, and it goes on the floor.
It hits your Mountain Dew.
And then the dog swallows it, and eventually you got to take the dog in and wipe the belly open and get the 100-sided die out. That's the one you keep, though. You keep that when you leave it all the gore dripping from it.
That's fantastic. All right. So, Sarah, from a female perspective, before we end this
segment,
do you have any questions about a Dungeons and Dragons game and how it operates?
No, I do not.
Really?
Oh, should I have one?
No. Okay. I didn't expect that you would. All right. Final question.
I want to know what snacks Aaron's going to be bringing, because I know you guys are just going to be all Cheeto-fingered.
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew?
And I would think anything covered in orange dust.
I'm a Dr. Pepper man, so that's the superior soda.
All right, and final question. What is the single most powerful weapon one can wield in a game of Dungeons and Dragons, Aaron and Will?
Which version?
I have no idea. Please, I don't know.
Standard in the book. Yeah, you know, the one you're probably going to see is the +5 Holy Avengers, probably the biggest, baddest you'll see in general.
And what does that
short
do?
Short of, like, artifacts.
What does the +5 Holy Avenger do?
It's a sword
for
a paladin.
In the hands of a paladin.
Yeah.
It's a sword from a what?
+5 to hit, +5 to damage, and I think I forget what it is versus chaos. Isn't it like...
Yeah, that's a normal weapon, but I think the most powerful item is that kind of clocks in there. It's probably like the Rod of Seven Parts or your Hand or Eye of Vecna, stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's going to artifact, you know. I'm talking something you're going to find.
The most powerful item.
Okay, here we go. Geek Slap Fight begins. All right, so this, you will be able to hear little bits and pieces of this game as it rolls out next Tuesday.
Oh,
666 will be doing that. And between now and then, we'll have the audience come up with a name for it. I'm going to have the audience come up with a name for this Dungeons & Dragons game, which is going to be conducted.
We should have limited edition T-shirts.
Yeah, we should really do. That's exactly what we should do.
Don't patronize me.
can we also make limited edition pendants that are a pewter dragon clutching a crystal ball?
That would be great.
Okay.
Never mind. Cool.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Will, the Alpha Geek from CBS Radio Portland, and Aaron Geek in the city. Thank you, Will. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's rick@rickeverson.com. All right, there you go.
I have a breaking geek news story.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, let's do the breaking geek news story. Sarah, do you want to just reestablish the Geek Watch here? Thank you.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
All right, we are now continuing this Geek Watch, after which we have some other things to do, including Jim Roop. We got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Tim Riley now with a breaking geek story.
Warner Brothers has just announced they're moving up the release date for Superman by 2 days in a bid to boost ticket sales over the Independence Day holiday. Now, originally, this was scheduled to begin showing on June 30th, but now it's going to be Wednesday, June 28th.
Man, I got to tell you, you know, even Lycus, who is not really given to discussing this kind of topic, Lycus did a whole hour on Superman Returns yesterday. And he's of the opinion that the franchise is dead and it's hokey and there's no way you can make Americans care about it. So, Aaron, thoughts?
No, man, I really hope it's going to be huge. I mean, God, it's going to be 10 times better than X-Men 3, and the droves went to that thing en masse.
That is true. X-Men 3, which received universally bad reviews and is the biggest movie of the year and one of the biggest openings of all time.
Yeah, all X-Men 3 was missing was Richard Pryor being carried off in the sky.
wearing a pink...
It was there, Superman 3.
Wearing a pink blanket. Yeah. Excellent. All right, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Aaron. There you go. We got this. Rick, how about naming the D&D on-air tournament Rick Emerson's audience turns off their radios day? There you go. Thank you. Thank you, sir. It's 503-733. You couldn't even work up a laugh for that. And Sarah, did
no,
you...
No, I laughed. That was funny.
Sarah, give a lot of...
I understand.
Well, she's had so very little to laugh about.
It's true.
All right.
My life has been full of tears.
Yeah, but now you got to... Now, when we come back, when I have time, I'm going to do these calls, then we should probably break. But we've got more news about the person who allegedly destroyed your fine automobile. So we got some more news on that. We'll give you the resolution of that story.
They'll burn in prison.
We're doing like a full-on Jack Webb today. In a moment, the results of that case. Rick Emerson Show, who is this?
Hello, this is Bob.
Hi, Bob. How are you today?
I'm fine.
You've got a question
and a concern.
Yes. You've got a warm yet crisp timbre to your voice, Bob.
Well, thank you. My first question is, I've heard that we may be tossing a virgin off the bridge on the... Is that true?
No, in no way will anything be tossed anywhere by anybody.
Not tossing anything
involving anybody
bridge.
Else. There will be no
That's
tossing
probably not
of,
a good idea anyway.
No tossing of any kind.
Right. The other thing is, though, there's a... my main concern is there may be a local shortage of horns. Devil horns. I've been to several shops, and the people there say, well, you're not the only person that's asked for devil horns today, but I'm sorry, we're out. Do you have any idea where we're going to get horns?
All right. I don't know. I would say, though, the same place that sells that hundred-sided die and the pewter figure can probably help you out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But that would be cool.
Right.
I had a set, but my first wife threw them out because she said I was scaring the grandchildren. So,
thank you, Bob. I hope that this concern is allayed by my recommendation that you go. I would suggest go find the good folks at Things from Another World. They can help you with this.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Bye bye.
All right, there you go. You know, sometimes with a call, it's hard to tell whether a guy is serious or whether he just has a really dry and unfunny wit. It's sometimes you're straddling that fence. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
Hello.
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 Hi.
All I have to say is Devil
so
Geek.
Crazy.
I don't know if it's been said.
Devil.
It just sounds good.
What?
Devil Geek.
Devil Geeks ought to be the name. There ought to be some sort of whatever they have, a guild or a league or a.
Virgin Devil Geeks dominate the world. Or
Virgin. I'm going to write that down. Virgin Devil Geeks. What is your name?
Charlie.
Virgin Devil Geeks. Is that short for something?
No, it's Charlie.
Yeah, there's something sexy about a girl with a guy's name. I don't know
and
why.
You say it every time I call you.
Have you called me a lot? I would think that
yeah.
would stick in my memory because clearly you're a vivacious, intelligent, and beautiful woman.
Well, let's see. Whenever George Bush stole the election again,
Which year was it? You have your choice of like three different years there. So.
Yeah, there's 12 of them. But I called and gave you the stats on all his on during the debate on how many times he said like and
yeah.
terror and.
It's not terror. It's Terra.
That's right, Terra.
Terra.
I don't know if that rings a bell at all, but
all right, Virgin.
I watched it diligently just for you.
God bless you, Charlie. That's why we love you. You're our favorite listener. It's true.
Oh, I know. I can tell.
It's true. We may say that to others, but we're lying. When we talk to them, we're really thinking of you the whole time.
I know. Right. I know. That's what you say every time.
Virgin okay. Devil Geeks dominate the world. That's excellent. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
Thank you. There you go. That's Charlie. All right. Let's do one more, then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Jake.
Jake, how can I help you?
Well, I was the one that said my crazy redneck co-workers hate Dixie Chicks.
Why, what kind of work do you do? What kind of business?
I work in an automotive dealership, auto tech.
And so you work with some redneck guys, and they dislike the Dixie. Do they have a specific reason for this, or is this because Sean Hannity told them to hate the Dixie Chicks?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I asked if he was going to get the new Dixie Chick CD, and he went off on a tyrant that he wishes physical harm on them.
Yes, well, there you go. That's always the mark of a forward-thinking American right there. So.
Yeah, I just hope they're not listening right now.
if they do, you call so we can hear your screams as they beat you senseless with pipes, wouldn't you please?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, there you go. Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, there you go. This has been an odd patchwork quilt sort of program today. I'd say it's been both gripping. It's been both gripping, informative, and entertaining, though. Also gripping. Gripping sounds like some sort of an illness where you develop scales along the base of your spine. I'd love to come out and play golf. I got this whole gripping of my backside that's happened. It's 503-733-2970. Inexplicably, or perhaps explicably, endless spelling bee emails continue to come in. Emails I will not be reading. 503-733-2970. We come back. Tim Riley at the City Desk. Jim Roop from Los Angeles. Coming up later on, it's the worst song you've ever heard. The most insane campaign ad you've ever heard that also happens to be real. And the top 10 songs that became hits despite the best efforts of radio stations to ban them. You stay there. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, about Coin 6 and Sarah, I set up the VCR in anticipation of that long lingering shot of Sarah pedaling away from the camera. It never showed. I'm guessing the cameraman will be selling that segment on eBay.
Oh, no, it did.
It did, twice.
Really?
She pedaled away twice.
Yeah, they should be pedaling once and then again.
Dude, you missed it.
All right. Be more observant next time.
Because he ends with, I will bid. I will bid. I will bid for that footage.
Oh, I have it. If you pull up myspace.com/Sarah Dillon, it's on there.
Go to Sarah Dillon's. You can get there also through rickemerson.com. There's a whole section on the side, down to the right-hand side. It gives you all the MySpace linkage, as they say. Rick. About horns across the Hawthorne, what is the dress code that needs to be followed by the Loyal Legion? Should ladies be dressed in red? Should lads be dressed in black? Inquiring minds want to know. I don't care. Here's the thing. I've gone down with Jason, who's going to be taking the photograph, our good friend Jason Crump, and he and I kind of scoped out the shot. And originally, I was thinking that it would be down on the sort of, you know, by that weird pale green restaurant on the, whatever it is, on the north side, or the west side, rather. And he actually is going to be doing it from the other side so you can get a whole sense of scale with the cityscape in the background and the coin tower looming phallically high above the bridge. Because I think, I do believe that there's this guy who's going to be taking some photographs on the river as well. I'm unclear about whether that's actually going to materialize, but there's some guy, a listener called in, said that he was going to be taking some photographs from a boat out in the river. And so that may or may not happen, but there's going to be many photographs taken by many people. Our good friend Patrick, who has, wait for it, a camera mounted on his car, is going to be taking a lot of long, great drive-by footage so that we can completely rip off the opening of Decline of Western Civilization Part 2 by Penelope Spheres.
It'll be the highlight of this year's Rose Festival.
It really is going to be, I'm telling you right now, if only for the chance for everybody to line the bridge and simultaneously do the devil horns in full sight of like 7,000 squeaky clean families from Beaverton. That really is going to be the greatest moment to me. It's like 10 to 15,000 pairs of eyes looking up and saying, well, I wonder if they have an Applebee's here at this Rose Festival. What's happening up there on the bridge? What to my wondering eyes should appear? And then it's just like endless freaky listeners up there just all doing the devil horns at once and us kind of right there in the middle. So it's going to be fantastic. Rick, here's a fun way to remember how to spell restaurant. Restaurants always end up with ants. Let's all move on now, he says. Rick. Well now, 43 minutes of spelling bee talk. Don't forget, this is why we all send in so many coffee cups. Ha, ha. See, again, here we go. Rick, my misspelled word was onomatopoeia, which he misspells again here, incidentally, for those time has not taught you well. He said, then a girl named Julie got the word rhubarb. I'm not bitter. Wrong, I am very, very bitter. Will you guys be cranking Crazy Train during 666? I don't see. Here's the thing. Is that we're all going to be gathering there. I got this ready. We're going to be gathering at the grassy knoll just below the northwest pedestrian entrance, so the Hawthorne Bridge. We'll gather there. Then we'll fan out across the bridge. And we're going to have like a little concert, backstage pass, laminate kind of things you get. And that will give you your spin on the pentagram of prizes at Dante's later. I'm unclear about whether there's going to be like actual music happening right there. I don't know about that. But then later when we retire to Dante's, there's a whole 666 party happening. That night at Dante's, Clyde Lewis is going to be there. There's going to be chicks. There's going to be all manner of refreshments and whatnot. So it really is going to be the best thing ever. It's 503-733-2970. 970.
I'm going to a party that night where somebody I hear is sacrificing an animal.
Okay.
How messed up is that?
No one's going to be sacrificing an animal.
I really think that it might happen.
Why would you go to a party? Let me ask you
this,
Sarah.
I'm hoping that it will already be done, or, you know,
what you should do is say that over and over again now that the police are listening to the show because of your automobile accident. Make sure to say long and loud. No one's going to be sacrificing an animal. That's always the thing that seems like a good idea.
That's the thing that everyone says that they'll do.
It seems like a good idea, and then your girlfriend notices the cat is gone, and then there's just a whole argument about it.
Oh, that's bad.
Not for me. I don't get... I'm not opposed to cat death in any way. Simply saying that they, you know, you think the duct tape will hold them and then they wriggle free. Rick, how about naming the tournament the Living in Mom's Basement, Ain't Been Late in Years, Eating Cheetos and Ending Up with an Orange, and Eating Cheetos and Ending Up with Orange Stains on Various Parts of My Anatomy, D&D Classical Loser for Life Tournament.
Aww.
No, I don't think so. How about this? Rick, I have a feeling if virgins were to be tossed off the bridge on 666, you'd have no one to play in your D&D Nerd Fest. All right. Didn't we just put Jim Roop here?
Oh, yeah.
Good to see the Laura from CNN's right back on the ball here.
She's all distracted. She's got engaged.
Yeah. And by the way, let me just tell you this. Before the show today, like 11:45, Sarah was calling to book our CNN, booking the shots, as they say, booking the interviews with our CNN people. She calls Laura. And there's a certain tone, and it's a thing you don't even really realize exists until you hear it. And it is the you just got engaged tone of voice. Because here's the conversation as I hear it. I can only hear Sarah's side of the call. You know, Sarah dialed. Hey, it's Sarah at 970 in Portland. Hey, what? Rita, congratulations! And it's like, I don't even have to ask. I just look over at Sarah and I wiggle my ring finger and she nods her head. It's like, you can totally tell. That is the sound of voice. There is a particular tone and timbre to when that is the news. We'll get these calls in a moment. We'll find out what the hell is wrong with Jim Roop. And at the moment, we will go to your personal savior, who is Tim Riley at the Citadel.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, you rather reporting. Well, dogs in Florida may soon be allowed to accompany their owners out to dinner. Governor Jeb Bush.
Where is this at?
Florida.
Okay, thanks.
Governor Jeb Bush, who in the not-too-distant future will be mysteriously elected president, says that on Friday he will sign a Dining with Dogs bill. The legislation gives local governments the okay to let residents permit dogs to eat with their owners in outdoor dining areas.
I'm sorry?
Talk about Jeb Bush.
But this is a dining with...
Dining with dogs.
All right, whatever. Look, I got a dog. I am a dog owner and so forth. But, I mean, is it... You don't want to do that.
Allowing dogs to dine would be up to local city and county. And then if the local restrictions were waived to allow it, it would be sent up to the restaurant. Oh, it'd be up to the restaurant owner. That's R-E-S-T-A-U-R-A-N-T.
Seriously?
In order to decide whether they want to participate.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You wouldn't take your dog to a place to eat, would you?
Well, I've taken Muppet to, like, outdoor seating places.
Yeah, but that's...
Yeah, you can't do that.
But see...
No, but he doesn't, like, sit on my lap or on the table. He just sits on the ground.
Yeah, well, see, I've done that, actually. We've taken Max to a place where you know, we kind of... But this is... Would this only be outdoors?
It does not say.
All right. Because you know how it is. It's like...
This is outdoor dining areas.
Okay, because it's going to be like that one... You know, you go to a restaurant, there's that one baby that just starts chain puking, you know, and there's going to be the one dog because... You know what I'm talking about. There's going to be one dog decides he's a little too at home, and then suddenly everybody has to leave. There's no courtesy flush for that, let me tell you.
Baby and chain puking?
You know how it is. Like you always end up sitting next to the baby that screeches or that vomits.
On flights on the way home after a very long vacation.
It's true. When I go to Boston, I know I'm going to be stuck next to a fat person and a baby.
That's after sitting in back of the woo guy at the concert.
Totally. No, I mean, and do you remember this, that they have to come up with cutesy little names for it? What happened? Oh, he spit up a little. It's not spit up. That baby's vomiting all over you. That baby is vomiting. That baby is hurling partially digested food out of his stomach onto your clothing within my eyeline. It's not spit up.
And they just gently dab, not like it's actually a vomit. Like, don't clean it. Just like, oh, a little spit up.
Let me just
smear it into my clothes.
Let me just rub it in. Hold on just a minute. Let me set this stain.
Oh, he's cute.
Yeah. Isn't that adorable? The babies do things that we call them adorable. If your relatives did that, you'd have them put in a home by the end of the day. Girlfriend just started spitting up on you.
Grandma just gurgled a little.
Dumped girlfriend. Yeah, seriously. Grandma does that. It's time for her to go live somewhere else. So, there you go. All right, here's... We're not being relatable. We've stopped being relatable.
Yeah, we've just started being mean.
I like bread. I like white bread especially.
It's like when sitcoms jump the shark.
Now it starts. Appeal's becoming more selective. I love
cookies.
I love cookies and the mall.
And beer.
And I hate the Dixie Chicks. I hate them. Those traitors.
American flag.
I don't like women who think.
Patriotism.
I saw a girl with the hairiest armpits today.
And we're right back over the shark. Yeah.
Time for the Darwin Watch.
Here's your Darwin Watch for Wednesday.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't. I ate all my caps.
Don't.
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey.
Oh, my heart just stopped. Okay. Ah, there it goes.
This has a little... Wow, this is local. There's a little local, relatable flavor to it.
All right,
the headline is, the man survives a car crash and dies climbing the safety.
Okay.
A Salem man who was using a high-powered rifle as a climbing stick accidentally died after shooting himself in the head Tuesday night. Vladimir Gokovchenko was climbing to safety after his minivan left the road, rolled several times, and went down an embankment after he lost control on a sharp curve. Gokovchenko and his family all survived the crash, reportedly without suffering any injuries. Then Gokovchenko removed a large caliber rifle from the van, and the trio began climbing out of the ravine.
So of all the things in the van, and it was his family, so it was his wife and at least one child. You and I both know this is true of you. Was he driving a minivan?
Yep.
If you're driving a minivan and you've got a family, you know that there's, like, ski equipment in there somewhere and a hockey stick and, like, a thing shaped like Barney and a bunch of crap from a car seat. Why would you... I think, actually, the fact that this is a Darwin Watch maybe answers this question. But of all the things in all the minivans in all the world, why would you use a high-powered rifle as a, quote, climbing stick? Can't you just see that that's going to end badly, even if you're
He apparently slipped, causing his thumb to hit the trigger. At that point, the gun fired, hitting him directly in the head.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
It happened at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Let's assume, just for the briefest of moments, that I can even get a... Everybody take a drink. You gonna hold that up to the mic?
Silence it.
All right. Everybody take a drink. Kelly Clarkson, once again. Let's assume, just for the briefest of moments, so that I can get on board with using a... What was it? A high-powered rifle?
Yes, it is.
Using a high-powered rifle as a... What? Climbing stick?
Yes, walking stick.
A, point it away from your face. B... There's a safety. C, you might even go a little crazy and consider taking the ammunition out of said high-powered rifle before you use it as leverage to pull yourself out of a hole. I mean, just my thoughts on the matter. Of course, this would deprive us of show material, so please continue to exercise free will and use your own obviously flawed and impaired judgment. There you go. That's local and relatable. It's a Darwin Watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Another one bites the dust.
Don't.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Yeah. All right. Rick. About cats wriggling free the duct tape. That's why you use a burlap sack and a framing hammer.
Okay.
I'm just passing it. I'm not saying you should do that.
No.
In any way. Oh, I think it's so funny to go to a party where they're going to sacrifice an animal. I make cat death joke and I get the frown.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to the party around the sacrifice.
If you really thought it was going to happen, you'd be on the phone to the cops already.
No, it's going to be a good party.
With a meaningless animal. What kind of animal?
No, it's not going to, they're not going to kill an animal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because I'd be calling the cops if I thought it was the case. Because a party that's, look, here's the thing. And again, not like the world has a shortage of cats or anything. But, you know, I'm just saying, a party where they start by sacrificing cats, that usually ends with sacrificing someone. All right.
It wasn't a cat.
Well, it
was a moth.
A moth?
Yes, yeah. A moth.
All right. Okay. Who is this that would even say this jokingly? Oh. Where would they get a goat? You're writing it down. I'm right over here.
Okay, well, stop saying the things out loud. I'm not going to tell you whose it is then.
Well, you... All right. Okay, you have to tell people... You have to tell... Okay, you have to tell everyone right now that this is all for comedic purposes.
It's a joke.
Or we are totally going to get the man calling us about comedic, about
I'm
the
sorry,
animal
in
danger.
This is theater of the mind. Nothing has happened.
It is the hilarity of goat killing.
Seriously. No, I'm just saying this is, no, because here's the thing. Portland is the wrong town to make that joke in.
Okay.
You start making a joke about somebody killing an animal, and seriously, like, the guys with the ski masks are going to come kick in your door, and they're going to shoot you in the face while you sleep.
Well, maybe you should stop making jokes about cats and hammers.
Well, those are cats. I don't care about cats.
Oh, cats are animals, too.
Yeah, they're not really. Cats are sort of... Cats are demonic
don't
minions.
Don't say that a Runjin Lane.
She knows I don't like cats. We've talked about it. All right. It's only cats plot your death. That's the thing, as we've established. Dogs at least wait until you're dead or old before eating you. Cats, they try to take you down as soon as they see your weakness. Rick, have you invited any local celebrities to join us on the bridge? Perhaps Lars Larson or Tom Potter? And it's just signed in huge letters, kick ass. No, I have not. It's 503-733-2970. Are we still... let's do a couple more here with Tim Riley.
This comes to us from Alabama. Worried about the safety of her family during a stormy Memorial Day trip to the beach, Clara Jean Brown stood in her kitchen and prayed for their safe return as a strong thunderstorm rumbled through Baldwin County, Alabama. But while she prayed, lightning suddenly exploded, blowing through the linoleum and leaving a blackened area on the concrete. Brown wound up on the floor, dazed, disoriented, and confused by the blast, but otherwise uninjured.
So she was actually hit by lightning while praying.
She said amen as the room was engulfed in a huge ball of flames.
You know, I've often talked about how geeks have a sort of dysfunctional, wife-beating kind of relationship with George Lucas.
Yes.
It really is the same with some people like this. She's a woman's actually kneeling on what? Linoleum?
Yeah.
Kneeling on linoleum, praying, presumably to Jesus, who then hits her with lightning, at which point she says, what?
Amen.
Amen.
As the room become engulfed in a huge ball of flames.
Looks like I've been blessed with some time off work. All right, whatever. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's see. Well, should I just take these calls, Sarah, or?
Sure.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Rick, have you ever noticed how Jim Roop is the Sinatra of our times?
I have not noticed that. How, in what way is singing and radio correspondent Jim Roop the Sinatra of our
time? He has the same cadence and delivery and the kind of easy coolness of Sinatra. Next time he's on, you listen to him.
Is it true? I should get him to end his news reports with, like, ring-a-ding-ding.
That's Sinatra under the influence, I guess.
You know, Jim doesn't really ever sound like anything phases him. I mean, even when he gets sort of cranked up about something, he still just has, you're right, this sort of easygoing calm to it. It all just sort of flows, baby.
Cool. You know, he's got more coolness in his fingernail than I have in my entire body.
I think part of that comes to the fact that he lives in a place where it's, you know, where it's like 82 every single day. And also, you figure that at any given moment, you're like, well, the odds are 1 in 3 you're going to be killed on the freeway on the way to work. So, you know, you got to live for today with that.
He's definitely the chairman. Hey, I've got your geek event title.
Oh, this is the name for the Dungeons & Dragons game. It's going to be happening here on 666, yes.
Okay, it's D&D Deathmatch, Nipple Pants Smackdown.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. That's
bye-bye.
1 out of 2 there. All right. That's a .500 there. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
It's Kristen.
Hi, hold on. And there we go. Kristen from accounting. How are you, sister?
I'm just peachy keen.
Okay. Is that like your phrase? Did you consciously decide that peachy keen was going to be your phrase? Is that like you decided to create your own catchphrase?
I didn't sit down and think about it, but it just kind of happened.
Because
it was one of those things, I started saying it because, you know how people say, how are you? And you're like, oh, fine. And and when you say peachy keen, people are like, people smile at you and they're like, hey, I let you know, they're, you know.
It's like when
it kind of makes other people happy when you say peachy keen.
It's like when like
catches their attention.
Like if you're fine and dandy, that sort of a thing that catches people. All right, okay. What do you got?
Well, you know, you've been conscientiously pimping the whole Horns Across the Hawthorne, and I love it, and I'm so excited to be there. It's going to be a cool thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Pictures. I'm a part of history. I love it. And Dante's, well, because you know, to me, Dante's is to me what Sabalas is to Sarah.
A place where you collapse on the bar every night and then realize that you've forgotten your plastic the next day and your car is destroyed.
Well, not quite that badly, but
okay, all right.
You know,
I'm just saying it's a home away from home.
And what are you talking about? So Dante's. I'm excited for the after Horns soiree as well with the pentagram of prizes. But we should also mention that there's going to be some kick sparse rock and roll going on.
Oh, there's a Cleveland. Cleveland is going to be
My buds, Cleveland are going to be rocking the house and whatnot.
don't do that. Don't say that. Don't say his house. No.
Yeah, so it's going to be a really great show. They're playing, and I Can Lick Any Son of a Bitch in the House is headlining.
And
they're really cool.
And Cleveland, by the way, is when Sarah did the famous Mysterious Actor Show.
Yeah,
at Holocene.
Yeah. So I can say this because you are on the same page.
I went to see the famous Mysterious Actor thing, and then we stuck around because it was like, hey, let's see this band. And Cleveland, what is her name?
Stephanie is the lead singer guitar player.
And look, I don't mean any disrespect, but so often you see a band come out and there's some chick who's playing guitar singing. It's like, you know, that she's there for her looks, or she's just there to be the eye candy.
She's the real deal.
She's like that, what's her name, Zazu's Pedals or whatever her name is in the Dandy Warhols. She's just there to distract you from the fact that the songs all sound the same.
Yeah.
With Cleveland, they really are fantastic. Again, I am receiving no consideration for this payment. Cleveland is really a fantastic band. Everybody ought to check them out. But they are going to be there as part of that 666 party.
Yeah, so. And Stephanie is not the only one. The two guys are pretty cool too, Matt and Danny.
You know, it's one of those weird bands where everybody looks like they're from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, she kind of looks like Joan Jett, and like one of the guys looks like he ought to be raising like the rebel flag somewhere and drinking Jim Beam. And then one of the other guys looks like he ought to be working at a bead store somewhere, so.
Well, I'll pass that along to them. I'm sure they'll be excited that you said that.
Well, it's my own colorful twist on
things. And I should bitch slap you for that, too, about, you know, your comments about chicks not being able to rock.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying
because
that it is often the case that women are put out there just to sort of be window dressing. You know it's true.
You know, I think Stephanie more than makes up for most of them.
Look,
anyway.
Can we just call it like it is? It's like the vast, and in a way, I am glad that I am not Sarah, because, you know, women have to overcome that whole thing about, like, if you're a woman, like, especially on the radio, let's be honest.
Everybody
so many
assumes you're fat and ugly.
Well, but not only that, but if you are an attractive woman on the radio, people assume that that is why you have the job and that you haven't. You know, it's
or that
because
you've slept with a bunch of guys on the
it's
way up.
Because so often they try to find somebody, and this happens to guys too. But then they try to find a woman who's just like window dressing, or a woman to distract from the fact that the hosts are hideously unattractive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so. That's what I'm saying. So it's always great when you see that's not the case, that there's substance. And
especially on your show, that's not the case.
That's what I'm saying, sister. All right, we're going to do this, and we'll be back. Kristen, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Still to come, we got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard, and we've got the top 10 songs that became hits despite the radio ban on their airplay. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
As we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs want to see how much you'll pay for what you used to get for free. And there goes the last DJ.